Today's shiur is Masecht Chul and Daf Nun Gimel, and we're going to begin in Daf Nun Beis on Beis and Mil the Amid Drusus Hazev. When we began the Perek, we discussed that one of the treifas is Drusus Hazev when a wolf attacks a animal. We're going to discuss what type of an animal, and it claws it. That animal, the victim, is a treifa. And actually, as we mentioned, and as the Rambam says, this is, as we're discussing so many types of treifas, this is really the only treifa that the Torah speaks about explicitly. The Torah says, "Abasim saw the treifa leisechelu," an animal that was clawed. In fact, the Rambam's opinion is that this is the only treifa that's a deraisa. All the other treifas are halacha l'mashma Sinai, and there may be different rules regarding the other treifas because of that, specifically according to the Rambam. What exactly is the concern when an animal is clawed? We have a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi's concern, it seems, according to Rashi, is that the clawing will cause that there should be a hole, a nekuva, a puncture, in one of the organs that we've been discussing, will be discussing, would make the animal a treifa. Tosfos, and there are a lot of rayas to Tosfos Pshat in the Gemara as we learn it, seems to learn that there's a poison that emanates from the attacker and will make the victim, the eres, the poison will, so to speak, burn the victim and make him into a treifa. Of course, and I think I've mentioned this, if that's Pshat, so then shouldn't a snake be a real example of an animal that was attacked by a snake be a real example of a treifa, yet we don't find that's the case. So the Mefarshim explain, I saw Rav Dessler explains this, that when we speak about the poison that the attacker injects in its victim, we're not speaking about poison as we know it is to venom, because that would make the victim a musukanis, and we've discussed already the halachas of a musukenis. Rather, what this would cause, and obviously they were a lot more further medically than we think, these animals that the Gemara identifies, adorsim, apparently had specifically a lot of bacteria on their claws. And when they attack a victim, that bacteria enters the body of the victim and causes infection. And it causes an affection to the degree that in the times of Chazal, at least, as we spoke from the Chazon Ish, was not curable. And that's why the Gemara, the Mishnah, says that Drusus Hazev is a treifa. So says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, the behema by an animal, Zavil Mala, any animal larger than a wolf will be a dairis, or by ifis, when we speak about birds, anything larger than a net will be considered a dairus. Says the Gemara Lamute Mai, what does Rav mean to say? And as the Rosh explains what the Gemara means to say here. It can't be that Rav is coming to tell us that a lion, for example, will be a dairus. Because that's obvious that everybody would agree with that. It must be that he's coming to teach us that something, that there's an animal that's not considered a dairus. Ilem Lamute Chatol, that a cat is not a dairus, tanina. Ask them, well, isn't that what the Mishnah says? The drusa says azev. It has to be as large as a zev, not smaller. V'chi tema. And if you'll say pshat in the Mishnah is, the zei begasa nami dairus. The Rav is coming to teach us that not only is a zev considered a dairus by behem medaka, by small animal, but a zev is considered a dairus even by behem megasa. Let's learn the Mishnah, the Tanan. The Mishnah, after quotes the opinion of the Tanakhama, continues by saying, Yehudai medrusus azei bedaka, that a zev is a dairus by a daka, vedrusus ari begasa. So it's clear that a zev is only a dairus by a daka, not by a gasa. So to suggest that what Rav is coming to teach us in today's shir is that a zev is even a dairus by behema gasa, not only by behema daka, that clearly contradicts what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah. V'chi teima, and if you'll say, yes, Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds that a zeiv is only a doyres by behemah daka. But Rabbi Yehuda's miflek polig, he's arguing on the Tanna Kamma, and Rav is explaining the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, which will be that not only is a zeiv a doyres and a behemah daka, but a zeiv is a doyres and a behemah gasa. Asking where we can't say that pshat. We can't say Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma and our Mishnah are arguing. For says the Gemara, Vamra binyam ben Yefes, Amra b'lo, Leibar Rabbi Yehuda el farsh de v'chamim. There's no machlok between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is just coming to explain what the Tanna Kamma meant. Ask the Gemara, Gavra Gavras Karamas? Yes, it is indeed the opinion of Rabbi Yom ben Yefes that the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah have no machlokes. Rav isn't obligated to follow that pshat. And Rav will indeed hold that a zeiv is a doyris by all animals, behemah daka and behemah gasa. Rav Yomim ben Yefes will not agree. And Rav therefore will teach us a different pshat that's what Rav is coming to teach us. Ibai seima, lo muti machasol. That indeed Rav is coming to teach us that a cat is not a doyris. Just malutema. If that's the case, so you would ask, if that's what Rav means, so why did the Mishnah speak about a zeif? Because you would have said, if not for what Rav taught us, we would think that indeed a chasol is a doyris. So why didn't the Mishnah say it? Because the Mishnah spoke about Urach and the Milsaktani, and a zeif is more likely to be a doyris than a chasol. Kamash Malon, that's why Rav comes to teach us that not just does the Mishnah not mention a chasol because it's not common, because a chasol is not a doyris. Amrav Amram Amrav Chizda, Drusa is chasol v'nemiya, the drusa of a cat, or a nemiya, it's a sort of a rat, b'gedoyim v'taloyim, by small animal, and drusus chulda, and the drusa of a cat, the oifus, are all considered a doyris. Meisvei asked the Gemara, here it says, drusa, the Brisa says clearly, drusus chatol netz v'nemiya at shetinok of l'chalal, they're not considered darsim unless they actually puncture. Aval drusa les l'hu. So the Gemara's question is, how could Rav Chisda say that these animals have to be the ability to be darsim when the Braisa clearly says that they don't have the ability to be darsim? They're only achetunak of l'chalal. So Taisus in the Rishonim ask an obvious question. Why are we so quick to make a problem? Maybe Rav Chisda speaking, as he says, b'gedoyim v'taloyim, by small animals. By small animals, they have the ability to be darsim. Large animals will be the subject of the braisa. They don't have the ability to be darsim. But why make a kasha? So Rishonim say a beautiful pshat. If the braisa would have said, drus is chasov netzunamiya. So we could say, are not darsim. So we could indeed have explained the braisa like I just wanted to suggest. That they're only talking about when the victim is a large animal. But let's look at the words of the braisa. The Braisa adds three more words. Atcha tinokiv l'chalal. What is the Braisa saying? What is the Braisa adding those words? The Braisa is trying to teach us that there's only one way that these animals can ever have a damaging effect. Atcha tinokiv l'chalal. The never darsim. Which is clearly contradictory to what Rav Chisda is saying. Ask the Gemara. Let's look at this Braisa. That we're asking kashas from this Braisa. V'tizbra netz like Doris. Can we say that a netz is not a doyris? But now we learned in our Mishnah. Clearly, drus is a netz. So how could you say that a netz is not a doyris? There's anyway a problem with this braisa. So that isn't a difficulty. Holo kasha. Can, boifis, our Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that a netz is a doyris, is speaking when a bird is the victim, can be gedoyim v'taloyim. Rav Chisda, the braisa, was speaking about animals, and we have a problem. And in fact, says the Gemara, mekomakon Rav Chisda kasha. Rav Chisda says that these animals have the ability to be darsim, and the Braisa says they don't. Answers the Gemara. Rav Chisda indeed cannot, his opinion indeed cannot be consistent with this Braisa, Rav Chizda's opinion will be consistent with a different Tana. Hu dama kahai Tana. The Tanya Baribi Omer, Baribi is the name of a Tana, lo amru ein drisa el b'makum she'ein matzilim. When did the Braisa say, when is the halacha that these small animals, the chatol, the namiya, are not darsim? And when there's nobody trying to save the victim from them. But what happens, says Baribi, when they're under pressure, and they see somebody's trying to save the victim, av makum she'esh matzilim, yesh drusa. So that is no problem. This Tana clearly says that they are darsim under certain circumstances, and that will be Rav Chizda's opinion. Ask the Gemara, is that true? How do we understand Baribi? For Tanya, ubemakom she'ein matzilim, ein drusa. How could Baribi say that when the attackers are not under pressure, they're never darsim? Ask the Gemara, who Tana go down Beir of Kahana? There was a situation where there was a chicken in the home of Rav Kahana. The rod chatol basra that was being chased by a cat, va'ola druna, the chicken ran into a room, v'syach dosha ba'ape, and it closed the door behind itself, u'machila dosha b'sukufei, and the cat scraped the door, v'shtakach ala chamesha korta dama. There was no matzilim. Baribi says they're only considered darsim when they're matzilim. There was nobody trying to save the chicken. So where was this poison coming from? Answers the Gemara, Hatzolos Atzman, Namik Hatzolos Acherim Dami. You don't have to have other people trying to save the victim. If the victim itself tries to do something, that enrages the Dairis, and that's when even a Chatol is a Dairis, and that's what the Gemara means. Rabbanan, what will the Rabbanan hold? The Rabbanan is Zihira Islay for the Kolziri. Yes, it has something that emanates from its claws, but it isn't poisonous. So according to this version, Baribi is more machmer than the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold that a chatol never is a dairis. Baribi says it makes a difference if you get him upset. But that is a dikr, ikadamri, homani, whose opinion does Rav Chizda follow? Baribi. The time Baribi Omer, lo yomru yesh drusa el b'makom she'esh matzilim. Al makush emet silim, ein drutza. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The same question. Or makush emet silim, ein drutza, when there's nobody enraging the cat, it's not a drutza. Ask him, Vahit Tanagolos, David Beir of Kahana, the Rod Chatol Basra, Vahalo Juna Vashiach Adosh Ba'ape, or Machil Adosh Beschife, Vishtaka Lechamisha Korte Dama. So the Gemara, Hatzol, Atzmanamik Hatzol Sacharim Dami. What's the nafkamina between the two Ikadamris? Very big nafkamina. In Baribi, there's no nafkamina. Baribi is consistent. A chasul, if you don't get him upset, is not a dairis. If you get him upset, he is a dairis. The Rabbanan is where there's a nafkamina. According to the first Ikad Amri, it is the opinion of the Rabbanan that he's never a dairis. And according to the second Ikad Amri, it's their opinion that he's always a dairis. Interesting to point out that the Rajba already says that our cats are different than their cats. And that our cats know how to live together with chickens. And a cat on a chicken farm is not a dairis. And the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes the opinion of the Rajba, the Yesh Mishaimer, that nowadays it's different between a cat and a chicken. Continues the Gemara. Boim Nerev Kahana Mirav. Yesh Drus L'Chatol or Ein Drus L'Chatol. Can a chatol be a dairis? Amlai, so a very interesting wording of this Gemara. So he asked him about a cat, and he answered about a weasel. Af l'chol da yesh drusa. Then he asked him another question. Yesh drusa l'chol da ein drusa l'chol da. He asked him about a weasel, and he responded, af l'chatol ein drusa. Then he asked him, l'chatol l'chol da yesh lan drusa. What's going to be a cat and a weasel? Yesh lan drusa, or ein lan drusa. Am l'chatol yesh drusa, l'chol da ein drusa. So besides, we have two problems. One problem is he never answers the question in the first two cases. And second of all, the answers seem to contradict each other. Says the Gemara, there's no problem. When he said that cats are darsim, it's ba'ifus. Cats can be darsim by birds. When he said that a cat is not a dairis, That's B'imri Ravava, by big animals. Hada Amalei. And when he said, L'chatol yesh drusa, L'chalda ain drusa, is B'gdayim B'tlayim, smaller animals, chatol is a dairus, not a cholda. Ask the Gemara further. By Ravashi, Shar oifas tameim, tamei birds, yesh lam drusa, ain lam drusa. Our Mishnah spoke about a getz and a natz. What about other birds? And the Rishonim make an observation. They make an observation that the Gemara here, when it asks a question about which birds are or aren't darsim, speak about oifas tameim. What do we see from here, say the Rishonim? That there was never a question, and this will be very relevant to the later part of our perek, that oifas tahirim, kosher birds, are never darsim. The question is only an oifas tameim. Furthermore, the Rishonim say the same thing as by a chaya. Only certain chayas are darsim, but again, they only are chayas tameim. And furthermore, say the Rishonim, that a behema, any animal that's in the behema family, domesticated animals, are never darsim. So again, ask the Gemara. Shar oifas tameim, besides those listed in the Mishnah, yesh lan drusa, ein lan drusa, can or they can't they be darsim? Amlay Rav Hillel Rav Ashi, Kavina Beir of Kahana, Amar, Shar oifas tameim, yesh lan drusa. Other tamei birds can be darsim. Ask the Gemara for Nantanan, our Mishnah said, V'drusas hanets by Fadak. So isn't our Mishnah teaching us that specifically and only a nets is a dairus by a small bird, no others? Answers the Gemara, Drusas hanets, the nets is unique, but the Kavos say, that if you have an animal equal in size, if you have a bird equal in size to the nets will be dairuset. Others, the inach, other birds, were only considered darsim when the victim is zutu minayu, which means like this. If the victim is smaller than the attacker, all oifas tameim are darsim. The nates has the unique characteristic that it's even a dairus and a victim equal in size. That's the first version. Vikadamri, there's a more chomer, there's a more stringent version. Drutzitz and nates, not only is a nates a dairus, but a nates could be a dairus even b'di rabimene, even if the victim is larger than it. V'idach, all the other birds could only be considered darsim b'di kavasayu. So according to this version, unlike the previous version, as long as the victim is equal in size to the attacker, it's already a dairus. Continues the Gemara. Amar Afganim Shmeder of Simi Bar Ashi. Ein drisa l'shul. A shul, a fax, can never be a dairus. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that true? Was there not an incident? Because Rav Dimi, Amar Maisav Dar Shul Rochel, B'merchat Shul Beisini, where a fax did attack a Rochel, or Bar Maisav L'fnei Chachamim, and this question came to the Chachamim, do we consider the victim a drusa, Vamru, and they paskind, Yesh drusa? So isn't this clearly an indication that a shul can be a dairus? Answers the Gemara, Amar Safra hu chatol hava. It wasn't a shul that was the attacker, it was a cat. And we learned on Tapad Amid that a cat could be a dairus. Ikadamri, Amar of Kanam Smeder of Simi Barashi, Yesh drusa l'shul. He actually holds that a shul can be a dairus. Ask the Gemara, Eni v'kosar av dimi, Amar Maisa, v'dar shul l'roch v'merchot shabay sinai, or bo maisa l'fnei chacham v'amai en drusa. Amravka Asafra, that wasn't a shul. A shul is not a dairus. A shul can be a dairus. What was the story there was that the attacker was a dog. Who caliph have? And in fact, Paskins the Gemara, Amrav Yosef Naftinan, the halacha is ain drusul caliph. A dog is never a dairus. However, the Rishonim and the Pious can teach us, a dog is never a dairus. But that doesn't mean that if an animal is attacked by a dog, we need not be concerned about a nekuva, because maybe with its teeth, it punctured one of the organs, and we still have to check for that. We just don't have to check for drusa. Continues the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Naktinon, Dalochi is, Ein drusa ela biyad, Lefuki regal deloy. That means, the animal attacks with its forelegs, but not with its hind legs. the Rishonim say that this is only by animals. By birds, any leg is a dairus. Furthermore, ein drus ela b'tzipayrin, only the claws make a drusa, lefukishein deloy, not the teeth. And therefore the Paiskim say, if you want to avoid a problem, if you have an animal on your farm that you think could be a dairus, you could cover the nails of the dairus. But they say just cutting the claws wouldn't be good enough. They have to be actually covered. Ein drusa, furthermore, ela medas. The attacker has to have intent to attack. Lefukish loy medas loy. If it didn't have intent, it wouldn't be a dairus. Ein drusa ela mechayim. One more halacha teaches us that an attacker could be only an attacker while the attacker is alive. Lefuk lachemis deloy. After its death, it can't be in a dairus. Ask the Gemara, why did Abaya have to teach us this last halacha? Let's think about it. Amri, hashta shloi medas. The previous halacha Abaya taught us is that the dairus is alive and well, but it had no intent to attack. It's not a dairus. Lachemisa, it certainly can't have any das. Lachemisa mibayi. So why did Abaya have to teach us the halacha of lachemisa? It's obvious. Answers the Gemara. Latricha the Doris or Paskula Yode. Tupshotim. The way Rashi learns is like this. The attacker got its claws into the victim, and before it could release its hand, they cut off the hand. And it's no longer attached to the body of the attacker. Another Pshat Samishonim says that they killed the attacker before it got its hands out. So Matatema, Bahad the Doris, as soon as it attacks, that's when shadi zihire, that's when the poison goes into the body of the victim, and therefore it doesn't make a difference if it was killed or the hand was detached before it was removed. It's too late. Kamash malon, it's not when it attacks does the poison go in. It's behadid the shalif, when the hand is removed. In the last moment, that's when shadi zihire. However, I saw the Rishonim say, if you have a question, what happened? Did it die before or after it removed its hands? We always have to be machmer. Because you have to assume that it removed its hands before. Only in the case that we're discussing, where it removed its hands clearly, that its hand was removed, the claw was removed, only after death, then we could be mekel. The Chassidish Sfarim, just to get off the subject for a minute, the Chassidish Sfarim used this Gemara to say a very interesting concept. We see over here that what is the most powerful moment in the life of the attacker? The last moment, as it's removing its hand. So they say, we know that what is the high point of Shabbos? The high point of Shabbos is Shalosh Shudos. The Zohar calls Shalosh Shudos Rav the Raven. So you would think, Shalosh Shudos? Shalosh Shudos is almost, Shabbos is almost over. But what does Al Gemara teach us? Dimri Emma says that at the last moment, as it's about to pull its hand out, that's when it's most potent. So too, as Shabbos is leaving us, that's when it's the highest level of Kedusha Shabbos. I saw the closing of the Rebbe said once by a Sheva Brachas. It was the last Sheva Brachas of a Chas and Kala. So by the time it comes to the last Sheva Brachas, everybody's already seen each other a lot. So he says, no, that the last Sheva Brachas is the most important Sheva Brachas, based on this Gemara. And Chassidus Sfarim speak about the last day of Chanukah, Zayis Chanukah, all on the same concept that we see in our Gemara, that the last moment is the most important moment. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Barav Huna Amar Rav, Arishin Nichnas Lebein HaSfarim, if a lion entered amongst Shorim, V'nimt Tzeparim Begavash Lechemahen, and now you find a nail in the back of one of the Shorim. And Choshen, we need not be concerned, Shema Ari Darso, that maybe was attacked. Why? My Tama, Rav Arayas Darsim, indeed most lions attack, Umir Ein Darsim, but not every lion attacks. Furthermore, the Kala Dairis Ein Tziparna Mishmetis, usually when a lion attacks, the nail doesn't get detached. The Zoros, in this situation, Horev Tziparna Yoshis Labigova, we find that the nail is in the back of the victim. Amar, we should perhaps say The bekoisel mischachich. It wasn't a regular situation. The lion rubbed itself against the wall. The nail got detached that way, and now the victim came next to that wall, and the nail went into it. And the way the Rashba explains the Gemara, he explains it with a sfek sfek. We have a double suffix, and we can be makel. Ask the Gemara, a different argument can be made. Ad Rabba, we can make the following argument. Rosh far mischachin. Umir e mischachin. Vekar mischachich, ein tzaparin yeshevus la begaba. Vezu harva tzaparin yosh la begaba. Usually, you won't find that a nail enters the back of a victim because it got from the wall. Vezu, and here where we see that there is a nail in the back of the victim, isn't that a clear indication? Ema ridarsoi. So therefore, says the Gemara, ikad l'mei mahochi, vikad l'mei mahochi. We could say, we could be machmer, we could be mekel, uke milsa cheske, we're more mekel, and have a sofik drusa. So we have a situation of a sofik drusa, rav la tamei, and rav follows his opinion, dharma en choshin l'sofik drusa. When we have a sofik drusa, we could be mekel. However, amra baya, loya marin, ela tzipayrin. This entire lenient approach that we're taking is when we find a nail in the back of the victim. And as we just explained, finding a nail in the back of the victim is very unusual. And therefore there's a question of what indeed happened. We don't find a nail. But what happened here was, we saw a lion enter amongst the shayrim, and we see a shayrim with a mark on its back. We didn't actually witness the attack, but we see a mark. We have every reason to be machmer. V'tzipayru nami loyamaron. Furthermore, even if we find the actual nail, that we're being lenient, elolacha, when it's moist. So since the nail is moist, it's unlikely that it came off the lion. It's fresh. Avivesha, if it's a dried out nail, there it's already likely that it fell off the lion's claws. Avdi the mishtachta. Furthermore, says Abaya, the lacha nami loyamaron, and even the lacha that we're being makel, elchada. If we find one nail in the back of the axe, given that the Gemara came up with some sort of a reason that we could be makel, speka, we're makel. But let's say, says the Gemara, the tartitlas, we find two or three nails in the back of a victim, we have to be concerned. However, says the Gemara, who the kind of darat schufei, when we find a number of nails, they have to be in the same order as they are on the claw of the lion, and then it will be a very strong reason to believe that the victim was clawed. Itmar, so says the Gemara, Rav Amar, Ein Choshen L'Sofek Drusa, we need not be concerned for Sofek Drusa when we have a Shaila. The Shmuel Amar, Choshen L'Sofek Drusa, we have to be Choshen. And that's the Halacha. Interesting, Machlokes Rishonim, what about a Suffolk treifa? Well, we have an animal. We've been discussing so many situations when animals are treifa. Do we have to be choshish or not? Some Rishonim say that only by a drusa are we machmer, not by a treifa. Other Rishonim say, what's a drusa? Drusa is a form of a treifa. So if we're machmer by a Suffolk drusa, we should be machmer by a Suffolk treifa. If we actually follow the opinion of the Rambam that I cited at the beginning of the shir, it's very understandable. Because the Torah, as the Rambam said, specifically speaks about drusa. So that's why maybe the halacha is more machmer by drusa than by treifa. Actually, I once quoted this famous question. There's a very difficult pasuk. I think it's in the parasha Shemini. Lahavdo ben atomei uben ator uben achaya anacheles vachayish en anacheles. So the pasuk is not following the same order. Tomei you're not allowed to eat. Tar you're allowed to eat. Chai and achelus you're allowed to eat. Chai she'en and achelus you're not allowed to eat. So first the Torah, in the first part of the pasuk, in the first phrase, it says the issa first. And the second phrase, it says the heta first. Why is the Torah being inconsistent? It's a very famous question. I think the Gra already speaks about it. One of the truths of my source is this concept that I just said. Tomei and Tohar is talking about a Suffolk Drusa. A Suffolk Drusa, the Gemara is being Machmer. That's why I say if you have a tamei and a tar, you have a situation of a suffolk drusa, make a tamei. And all other situations where you have a suffolk trefa, chayin achelas, eat it. Continues the Gemara. The kulei amma, everybody is in agreement. Suffolk all, suffolk loyal. If there's a question if the lion entered or didn't enter, aim a loyal. We could assume that nothing happened. Furthermore, suffolk kalba, suffolk shunra, going back to the top of the amid, a dog isn't a concern. A lion is a concern. Aim a kalba all. Then we could assume that it was the lion, not a cat, and everything's fine. Shasik. The Asa Benayu, if the attacker is sitting there quietly amongst all the other animals, Emeshal Meshavi, even animals sometimes can make peace. Kata Rosh Dechad Benayu, if you see that the one of the animals' head was taken off by the attacker, we could assume Nachmur Seichi. Although I did see the Rishonim say it's not enough that he took off the head, he actually had to kill the victim. If it achieved a killing, then it calms down. Iu kamaavi, if the attacker is yelling, vino kamakakarim, and they're also yelling, everybody's yelling, busu kamavasa adadi. We don't have to think that anything happened. Everybody's just in the mode, but nothing necessarily happened. Ki polit, when is there a machloikis? The iu kashasik, the attacker is silent, and the victims are yelling. Masava, why is this way? Because Masava kavahu, obviously something happened. Or Masava, the other mandama holds, it's only because they're in fright, but it doesn't mean anything really happened. And that's why Abaye will be Machmer and Rav will be Mekel. Interesting to point out that the Rishonim, and I think all the Rishonim that I saw discussed this, say this is only when it's in a room, in a closed room, where we have to be concerned. But let's say it's in a big, wide area where the victims have where to run, then everybody will be lenient because we could assume that the victims were able to run away from the attacker. The only question, it's not very relevant, la'aloch la'maisa shayla, the only question is, what is considered a large enough area that we could say that they effectively ran away? Layer of Ashi Lameima, Amma Ameima, continues the Gemara, Hilchasa, the halacha is, Choshin L'Safa Drusa. We have to be concerned for Safa Drusa. Amalei, Rav Ashi Lameima, Haid Rav Mai, what are you going to say about what Rav taught us? We just learned that Rav says, Ein Choshin, Amalei, L'Shmirli, Klem L'Shmirli. Yes, Rav maybe hold that way, I don't agree. V'bois Eima, Hadabei Rav L'Gabi D'Shmuel. Rav ultimately agreed with Shmuel the Choshin L'Safek Drusa. Why? The Hu Sharkafa. There was a bag full of birds. Dasa, the Safek Drusas. Where on all these birds there was a Shaila of Drusa. Dasa L'Kamei the Rav. That the question came to Rav. Shadrinu L'Kamei the Shmuel. So Rav sent them to Shmuel. Chinkinu, so Shmuel suffocated all of these birds, v'shadina benara, and he threw it into the river. V'salkadatach lehadabei, if Rav holds that their mutter, v'shrinu, he should say that their mutter. Why is he sending this to Shmuel? Ela, mai, else what are you going to say? The fact that he sent it to Shmuel, v'shrinu, so He changed his mind and he agrees that it's Asur. So why is he sending to Shmuel? He should have said it's Asur. Ella, Asur to Shmuel Hava. The reason he sent the Shaila to Shmuel was because this question came up in the city where Shmuel was the Rav, and Rav didn't want to pass him in the city where Shmuel was the Rav. But there's a fantastic Rashi here. This is Negeil Alokh Lamaisa. Rashi has two very different approaches to this. One approach, Rashi says, is that that the Gemara is still holding that Rav held that it was, that Rav changed his mind, retracted and held it was Asur. Because Rashi says, if Rav really held its mutter, and he knows that Shmuel holds its Asur, he can't send it to Shmuel. He can't do what he holds is wrong, even though Shmuel's the rabbi of the town. And the Mefarshim explain why not. One is it's a question of Hefsid Mammon. These are birds. You can't just throw them away if you hold the kosher. Another pshat is, and we've had this concept numerous times in our shiurim, there's no situation which is a pure chumrah or a pure kula. Every chumrah has a kula attached to it, and every kula has a chumrah attached to it. We had numerous examples. So if Rav really holds that it's mutter to send it to Shmuel and say osir, with all the repercussions of saying osir, where he really holds it's mutter, he would have done it. So according to the first pshat of Rashi, the halacha is that even though Rav is a visitor in this town, if he disagrees with the Rav of the town, he has to say what he holds, and he can't just say, I'm not the rabbi here. The other pshat Rashi says that, of course, there's a concept of Kavod HaRabbanus. And if I'm not the Rav in this town, and the Rav holds one way, and I disagree, I have no right to disagree publicly. But Rav should have not sent it to Shmuel. He would have, all he should have done is not spoken. Or we don't have a raya to what Rav says. It's very big nafkamina la'alocha. What should a visiting rabbi do if he disagrees with the local rabbi? Continues the Gemara. So Shmuel held their asr. Fine. But ask the Gemara, lama l'chakinu. Why did Shmuel have to choke them? Why do you have to suffocate them? They're not allowed to be eaten, but why can't he just l'shtinu hacha b'nahara? Why didn't you just throw them into the river? Answer the Gemara, mefrachin v'salkin. They're birds. You're going to throw them into the river, they'll fly out, and then I'll catch that bird, and chas v'sham I may come to eat the bird. And Shmuel heard that this bird is not kosher. Ask the Gemara, as we've been learning so many times in our sugyas, a treifa can't survive 12 months. So what Shmuel should have done is just waited. V'leshinu shnei ma'asachadish. He should have just waited 12 months. And if these birds would have survived the 12 months, then he would have been fine. Answered the Gemara, asa b'ladei tekala. We were concerned that you had so many birds here that if they're going to stick around 12 months, somebody may come to eat them. Although the Rama says, so that the halach should be only when you have many birds where you should be concerned. What happens if you only have one bird? So the Rama, the Shulchan Aruch says, it seems if you have only one bird, you could take a weight. The Rama is machmi even on one bird. Continues the Gemara, v'lezvinu loiv dekachavim. Goyim don't have all of these halachas, so why don't you just sell them to Goyim? Answers the Gemara, also lezvinu Yisrael. We need to be concerned that the guy is going to sell it to a Jew, and the Jew's not allowed to eat it. Ask the Gemara, so we understand why he had to kill them. But why l'chakinu l'shtinu l'ashpa? Why do you have to throw them into the sea? Or tameich, mishdin l'klavim. Dogs are allowed to eat non-kosher meat, so give it to non-kosher birds. Ella l'famusa desura. He wanted to publicize that they were asur. So how did he do it? By making an entire ceremony of taking them to the river. Continues the Gemara. Hahu bar avza da'av bei Ravashi. There was the goose in the home of Ravashi. Ase al bei kanya. It went between the sticks. Nafik asa kimimasasa kuidama. It came out dripping blood. Amar Ravashi. Lo amrin in Suffolk kalva, Suffolk shurna, ema kalba. Didn't we learn on Amar Aleph that when we have a question if it was a dog or a cat, we would assume it was a dog? Hachanami, when we see this goose coming out all bloodied, Safak Kanya, maybe it tripped on the wood, Safak Shunra, or maybe it tripped on, or maybe it was attacked by a cat. Amer, again, we take the more lenient approach, Kanya Machya, that it tripped on the wood, and it's mutter. Continues the Gemara. Amr b'nei Rav Chiya, Drusash Amr Tzricha b'nei B'dika, we said that drusa should be evaluated, and I already spoke about this, that we don't do any evaluation nowadays. Drusa sh'amru, tshikah b'dika, k'neg b'mayim. You have to look at the entire stomach area. Amr Rav Yosef, had b'nei Rav Chiya, this that the b'nei Rav Chiya just taught us, k'far pesh shmuel, was already taught to us by Shmuel. Dom shmuel m'shem Rav Chinen b'antigas, drusa sh'amru tshikah b'dika, k'neged B'nei Ma'ayim. Ask the Gemara further. By Ilfa, yesh Jerusalem simonim. Why in Jerusalem simonim? If we see that the animal was attacked in the area of the simonim, does it become a Jerusalem or not? Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Zeira. Had by Ilfa, kva pirsha, Rav Chanan bar Rava. Dom Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav. Drusa, sh'amr tzrika bedika, k'neged beis chalal kuloi, afilu b'simonim. If it was attacked in the area of the simonim, we need to be concerned. Continues the Gemara, by ilfa, silf simonim sh'nadal delubakama, if we see the simonim are not in their proper place, when do we have a shayla? Amr b'zeira, had by ilfa, k'apirsh rabbi b'bachana, dom rabbi b'bachana, amr shmul, simonim sh'nadal delubarubin. If they're mostly out of their place, we have to be machma. Continues the Gemara. Bayer of Ami, hamsmasa mahu. What is the halacha if the meat we see is detached? Omer Rav Zeira, had by Rav Ami, kvar pirsha Rav Yehuda. Dom Rav Yehuda Merav, bedrusa, atche yaadim, basa k'negim nemayim. If the area got red, that's when we have a concern of drusa. Nismasmas abasar, if the meat is sort of attacked, it's not whole, rhinos akilo eno. Hechi domi nismasma, when is the case of nismasmes? Omer Rav Huna, Braid of Shul, kol sheroi fig gardai, if the meat, the flesh, is so affected that you have to scrape it away, umamidai abasar chai. Says the Gemara, Arav Ashi, Kavabina of Kahana, when we were at Yeshir of Kahana, Aisi Kaman Haireya, there was a long that was brought to us, the Kehava Miyasfile Yosu Shaper, that when it was standing, it was able to stand, the Kehava Madla Loihava. It couldn't rest in the animal, the Tarifnalai. And we say that it was a tray for long, Medrevahuna bred Vishua, based on what Rav Yehuna said, taught us. Rav Nachman Amar, the kites, when we are concerned that an animal was attacked by a thorn, when is a treif? Atche tenokev, l'chalal. It goes all the way through. We'll speak about this tomorrow more. Bedrusam, when do we have to be concerned about a drusa? Mishiyad and basa k'neg m'nayim. When the area of the stomach gets red. Rav Zvid mas nahachi, bedrusam, Mishyad and Basak Negev Neimayim, by the area around the stomach when it gets red, that Simonim, it's not enough that the area around the Simonim get red, Ashi Diminus Minam Atzvam. Just to end the shir, there's Machlokes Rashi in Taisvis. Rashi says that a Bedika is only effective by a Sofik Drusa, by a Vade Drusa, there's no Bedikas. Taisvis holds that even by a Vade Drusa, we can rely on Bedika.